Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 27th of April, 2018. I'm going to be in the Apocrypha in the book of the Wisdom of Solomon, beginning in chapter 10. But before we get started, let me give my website where you can find all of my shows. It's www.pastor-steve.com. It's not an interactive site. There's no chat room. There's no opportunity to troll. It is for people that really want to hear the word. It's got links to a lot of two seed line sites. I do not support single seed line. I'm sorry, but I don't. They have a foot in the door, some of them, but they're not going down the right path. So I'm sticking to my guns on that. Let's get started in chapter 10. with verse 1. It's all about wisdom. This is wisdom literature. And this is the work of wisdom from Adam to Moshe. Okay? I will give all the references in this chapter at the end of the chapter. I don't want to break the rhythm of what I'm reading to give verse references. I'll do that after the chapter. So have something ready to write if you want to look up some of these references. I will do that throughout these books. Verse 1 of chapter 10. Wisdom, or she, they have it both ways, different versions, protected the first form father of the world when he alone had been created. She delivered him from his transgression. Okay, that is speaking of the Adam. Verse 2, and gave him strength to rule all things. Verse 3, but when an unrighteous man departed from her in his anger, he perished, because in rage he killed his brother. Speaking of Cain. Okay. Verse 4. When the earth was flooded because of him, wisdom again saved it, steering the righteous man by a paltry piece of wood. Verse 5, and it has wisdom, and it can also say she, speaking of wisdom. Also, when the nations in wicked agreement had been put to confusion, okay, that's Babel, recognized the righteous man and preserved him blameless before Elohim and kept him strong in the face of his compassion for his child. Verse 6, wisdom, or she, rescued a righteous man when the ungodly were perishing. He escaped the fire that descended on the five cities. Verse 7. Evidence of their wickedness still remains. A continually smoking wasteland, plants bearing fruit that does not ripen, and a pillar of salt standing as a monument to an unbelieving soul. Verse 8. For because they passed wisdom by, they not only were hindered from recognizing the good, but also left for humankind a reminder of their folly. Now it should read Adam kind, because scripture is only about the race of Adam. But this is from the Greek text, and they have humankind or mankind, which is in error, in my opinion. Okay. So that their failures could never go unnoticed. And that ends verse 8. Verse 9. Wisdom rescued from troubles those who served her. Verse 10. When a righteous man fled from his brother's wrath, she guided him on straight paths and showed him the kingdom of Elohim and gave him knowledge of holy things. She prospered him in his labors and increased the fruit of his toil. Now that's speaking of Jacob Israel. Okay. Verse 11. When his oppressors were covetous, she stood by him and made him rich. Verse 12. She protected him from his enemies and kept him safe from those who lay in wait for him. In his arduous contest, she gave him the victory. Remember when Jacob wrestled with the messenger of Elohim? Mm-hmm. So that he might learn that godliness or righteousness is more powerful than anything else. Verse 13. When a righteous man was sold, wisdom did not desert him. Did not desert him. That would be Yosef, sold into Mitzrayim as a slave by his brothers, but delivered him from sin. She descended with him into the dungeon. Verse 14, and when he was in prison, she did not leave him until she brought him the scepter of a kingdom and authority over his masters. That's Joseph, Yosef, okay? Those who accused him, she showed to be false. And she gave him everlasting honor. Okay, now we go into another subsection of chapter 10. And it says, wisdom led the Israelites out of Mitzrayim, or Egypt. Verse 15. Now listen to this carefully. A holy people and blameless race. Wisdom delivered from a nation of oppressors. Identifying Israel as a separate race of people. Bada bing, bada boom. What have we been telling everybody in Christian identity? We're a chosen race of people. All through Scripture, that's what it's about. Verse 16. She entered the soul of a servant of Yahweh and withstood dread kings with wonders and signs. That's Moshe with all the signs and wonders in Egypt. Verse 17, she gave to holy people the reward of their labors. She guided them along a marvelous way and became a shelter to them by day and a starry flame through the night. This is verse 18, and they have anglicized this. They have Red Sea in here. It is not the Red Sea. It is the Sea of Reeds. Okay. Verse 18. And I will read it such. She brought them over the Sea of Reeds and led them through deep waters. verse 19. But she drowned their enemies and cast them up from the depth of the sea. Verse 20. Therefore the righteous plundered the ungodly. They sang hymns, O Yahweh, and they have Lord here, which is wrong, to your holy name. They anglicized it, okay, and praised with one accord your defending hand. Verse 21 of chapter 10. For wisdom opened the mouths of those who were mute and made the tongues of infants speak clearly. That ends chapter 10. Okay, here are all the reference verses for chapter 10. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 10, you can reference Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. That's Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. Verse 3 of chapter 10. You can reference Genesis chapter 4 verses 8 through 13. That's Genesis 4, 8 through 13. Verse 4 of chapter 10. You can reference Genesis chapter 7 verse 1 through chapter 8, verse 22. That's Genesis 7, 1 through 8, 22. Verse 5 of chapter 10. You can reference Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. And 4th Maccabees, chapter 13, verse 12. Verses 6 through 9 of chapter 10, you can reference Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 29. That's 19, 1 through 29 in Genesis. Specifically, verse 7 of chapter 10, you can reference 3rd Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 5. Verses 10 through 12 of chapter 10, you can reference Genesis, chapter 27, verse 43, chapter 28, verses 10 through 22, and chapter 32, verses 24 through 30. Specifically on verse 12 of chapter 10, you can reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 9, verse 8. In verses 13 and 14 of chapter 10, you can reference Genesis chapter 37, verses 12 through 36. Chapter 39, verses 1 through 23, and chapter 41, verses 37 through 44. In verses 15 through 21 of chapter 10, you can reference Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 15, verse 21. And those are the references for chapter 10. I will have this reading on my website if you need to go over it again. As soon as I get done recording, I put it in the airtime file for EFR, and then I go to my website and I post it. It is posted before it airs on EFR. For people that can't stay up late or miss it or whatever, all my shows are archived on my website. So let's get into chapter 11 of the Wisdom of Solomon. And this is wisdom leading the Israelites through the desert. Verse 1, it has wisdom, or she, they refer to her as a female, prospered their works by the hand of a holy prophet. Okay. Now, I'm going to have to turn the page, which makes it hard for me to go back and get this note. There's only one note for chapter 11 here. So, verses 1 through 5 of chapter 11, you can reference Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, through chapter 17, verse 16. So now I'll turn the page and we'll continue with chapter 11. Verse 2. They journeyed through an uninhabited wilderness and pitched their tents in untrodden places. Verse 3. They withstood their enemies and fought off their foes. Verse 4. When they were thirsty, they called upon you, calling upon wisdom through Yahweh, okay, and water was given them out of flinty rock and from hard stone, a remedy for their thirst. Now, they did not have a note for verse 4 in this book. I put a note in here personally because I researched it. Verse 4, you can reference Numbers chapter 20, verse 11. They didn't catch that evidently when this book was written, but I did. I'm sorry, but I'm a little fanatical about this. I really like to do my homework and read everything, and I go through a book and read all the pertinent notes and the accompanying passages, so I actually know what I'm talking about. The Word deserves that, brothers and sisters. It deserves it, okay? Verse 5 of chapter 11. For through the very things by which their enemies were punished, they themselves received benefit in their need. Verse 6. Instead of the fountain of an ever-flowing river, stirred up and defiled with blood, verse 7, in rebuke for the decree to kill the infants, that goes back to Mitzrayim, where they turned water to blood. Remember that? You gave them abundant water unexpectedly. Unexpectedly, yes. Verse 8, showing by their thirst at that time how you punished their enemies. Verse 9, for when they were tried, though they were being disciplined in mercy, they learned how the ungodly were tormented when judged in wrath. Verse 10. For you tested them as a parent, and in the Greek it has a father. That's speaking of Yahweh. For you tested them as a father does in warning, but you examined the ungodly. You examine the ungodly, and he will examine the ungodly again, remember. And it has those in the Greek, as a stern king does in condemnation. Now that's speaking of Yahweh examining the ungodly through his wisdom, even though they present wisdom in a female aspect here that doesn't carry over to when they speak of Yahweh. Okay. Verse 11 of chapter 11. Whether absent or present, they were equally distressed. Verse 12, for a twofold grief possessed them, and a groaning at the memory of what had occurred. Verse 13, for when they heard that through their own punishments the righteous had received benefit, they perceived it was Yahweh's doing. Now, in this book, they have the Lord's because it has been anglicized from the Greek. Okay. We get rid of this Lord business when I read stuff. We put the holy name back in. I'm not going to say the Lord. It's going to be Yahweh. When they say God, it's going to be Elohim, with a capital E if referring to Yahweh, because it's a title, not a name. Verse 14, for though they had mockingly rejected him who long before had been cast out and exposed, at the end of the events they marveled at him, when they felt thirst in a different way from the righteous. Verse 15 begins a little segment called Punishment of the Wicked. They put these little section titles in here that I like. This is the New Revised Standard Version with the Apocrypha. That's what I'm reading from. In case you want to download it or something on eSword and read along with me. Verse 15. In return for their foolish and wicked thoughts, which led them astray to worship irrational serpents and worthless animals, you sent upon them a multitude of irrational creatures to punish them. Verse 16. So that they might learn that one is punished by the very things by which one sins. Verse 17. For your all-powerful hand, which created the world out of formless matter, now he's speaking of Yahweh here, okay, did not lack the means to send upon them a multitude of bears or bold lions. Verse 18, or newly created unknown beasts full of rage, or such as breathe out fiery breath, or belch forth a thick pall of smoke, or flash terrible sparks from their eyes. Verse 19, not only could the harm they did destroy people or them, but the mere sight of them could kill by fright. Verse 20, even apart from these, people could fall at a single breath when pursued by justice and scattered by the breath of your power. Now, when it has people, it would say they could fall at a single breath. But you have arranged all things by measure and number and weight. That ends that little segment there. Write this down. We're getting down to the end of chapter 11. Verse 10 of chapter 11 refer to 3rd Maccabees chapter 5 verse 7. That's 3rd Maccabees 5 verse 7. In verses 15 and 16, refer to Exodus chapter 8, verses 1 through 24, and chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. That's 8, 1 through 24, and 10, 12 through 15. Now we get into the last little section of chapter 11, and it's called God is Powerful and Merciful. That's their little English synopsis, okay? Which is cool. I can deal with that. Verse 21 of chapter 11. For it is always in your power to show great strength, and who can withstand the might of your arm? Verse 22. Because the whole world before you is like a speck that tips the scales, and like a drop of morning dew that falls on the ground. Verse 23. But you are merciful to all, for you can do all things. Speaking of Yahweh. And you overlook people's sins so that they may repent. Well, if Yahweh didn't do that for us through Yahshua, Messiah, we'd be doomed. Doomed. But he did. And he loves us. Those that are faithful. And those that aren't, he wants them to repent. Okay? People just miss so much when they don't read the scripture. And I know I have a following out there that listens to all my shows and looks all of this up. And you are truly blessed, people, because you study. And you follow along with what I have to teach, which is what is taught to me by the Word. And may Yahweh bless you. I love you all. And for the others that just listen, may you get fired up and read this Word and examine your lives and see how they measure up according to what Yahweh wills for us. And come into the remnant, please. Verse 24 of chapter 11. For you love all things that exist and detest none of the things that you have made. Now, the stuff that's been perverted by the adversary, that's a different story. For you would not have made anything if you had hated it. Verse 25. How would anything have endured if you had not willed it? Or how would anything not called forth by you have been preserved? Verse 26, you spare all things, for they are yours, O Yahweh, you who love the living. And that ends chapter 11, and it immediately goes into chapter 12. There's really not supposed to be a break here. They just give it a chapter number. But it's a continuing part of this God is powerful and merciful segment. So let's get into chapter 12, verse 1. For your immortal spirit is in all things. Verse 2. Therefore, you correct little by little those who trespass, and you remind and warn them of the things through which they sin, so that they may be freed from wickedness and put their trust in you, O Yahweh. Now, that ties in with that last part of chapter 11, but they put it in chapter 12. Now we have another little segment. called the Sin of the Canaanites. And there's only three notes associated with chapter 12, so I am going to give them at this time. Now, verses 3 through 7 of chapter 12, you can refer to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, and chapter 18, verses 9 through 13. Verse 8 of chapter 12, which I will read, you can reference Exodus chapter 23, verse 28. And in verse 10 of chapter 12, which I will read, you can reference 2 Esdras chapter 9, verse 11. So let's get into this little section in chapter 12 called the Sin of the Canaanites. Verse 3. Those who lived long ago in your holy land. Verse 4. You hated for their detestable practices, their works of sorcery and unholy rites. Verse 5. Their merciless slaughter of children. Or slaughterers of children. And their sacrificial feasting on human flesh and blood. Whoa, what's going on with the child sacrifice today and the eating of infant's flesh of the unborn and drinking of blood? We hear about this. These ritual sacrifices. They're still with us, folks. They're still with us. And you know who they are. If you've been listening at all, you know that they're with us. And who they are. These initiates from the midst of a heathen cult. That's the last part of verse 5. Heathen cult, Satan worship. And that means, meaning of Greek is uncertain. I know what it means. Verse 6. These parents who murder helpless lives, you willed to destroy by the hands of our ancestors. But we didn't complete the commission, folks. That's the problem. Verse 7. So that the land most precious of all to you might receive a worthy colony of the servants of Elohim. Or children of Elohim, okay? Because we are Yahweh's children. And it reads both ways in different versions, okay? They give you complete notes in this. I'm really pleased with this copy. Verse 8, but even these you spared, since they were but mortals, and sent wasps, and it has a note here, or hornets, that's what it says in scripture, it says hornets, as forerunners of your army to destroy them little by little. Verse 9, though you were not unable to give the ungodly into the hands of the righteous in battle, or to destroy them at one blow by dread wild animals or your stern word. Verse 10, but judging them little by little, you gave them an opportunity to repent. Though you were not unaware that their origin or nature, it has here, was evil. Well, yeah, they were from the evil one. They're from the evil one. Now, this is just Solomon's writings. If you read the book of Obadiah, you see that he hates Esau, Edom, the children of the adversary that have mingled all over and practiced Babylonian Talmudism. He hates them and is going to destroy them. All right, though you were not unaware that their origin was evil, and their wickedness inborn, the DNA tells on these people, and that their way of thinking would never change. Now, verse 11, listen to this. For they were an accursed race from the beginning, and it was not through fear of anyone that you left them unpunished for their sins. What's that tell you, folks? What have we been teaching you? They are not of our race. They are separate. They are evil. Their DNA is evil. Wake up. Now we have another little subsection here of chapter 12. I don't know whether I'll be able to get through the whole chapter today, but I'm going to try. For who will say, verse 12, for who will say, what have you done? Or will resist your judgment? Who will accuse you for the destruction of nations that you made? Or who will come before you to plead as an advocate for the unrighteous? Verse 13. For neither is there any Elohim beside you whose care is for all people, or all things, it says in the Greek, to whom you should prove that you have not judged unjustly. Verse 14. Nor can any king or monarch confront you about those whom you have punished. Verse 15. You are righteous and you rule all things righteously, deeming it alien to your power to condemn anyone who does not deserve to be punished. Verse 16. For your strength is the source of righteousness, and your sovereignty over all causes you to spare all. He's a merciful Elohim. Verse 18, for you show your strength when people doubt the completeness of your power, and you rebuke any insolence among those who know it. Verse 18, although you are sovereign in strength, you judge with mildness, and with great forbearance you govern us, for you have the power to act whenever you choose. We seem to have forgotten that today. Here's another little subsection of chapter 12, God's lessons for Israel. Verse 19, through such works you have taught your people that the righteous must be kind, and you have filled your children with good hope. Because you give repentance for sins. Praise Yahweh. Verse 20, for if you punish with such great care and indulgence, some say they lack indulgence, and others read and entreaty, the enemies of your servants or children, and those deserving of death, granting them time and opportunity to give up their wickedness. Verse 21. With what strictness you have judged your children, to whose ancestors you gave oaths and covenants full of good promises. Verse 22. So while chastening us, you scourge our enemies 10,000 times more. And he's going to do that. We're being chastened today because of our apostasy, but payback's coming. Continuing on, verse 22. So that when we judge, we may meditate upon your goodness. And when we are judged, we may expect mercy. All right, here's the last subsection of chapter 12. It's called the punishment of the Egyptians. Verse 23. Therefore, those who lived unrighteously in a life of folly, you tormented through their own abominations, the false gods of Egypt. Let me get a little coffee. I'm really getting caught up in this, and it's so exciting. Verse 24. For they went far astray on the paths of error, accepting as Elohim those animals that even their enemies despised, or they despised, okay, in the Greek. They were deceived like foolish infants. Verse 25. Therefore, as though two children who cannot reason, you sent your judgment to mock them. Verse 26. But those who have not heeded the warning of mild rebukes will experience the deserved judgment of Elohim. Verse 27, this is the last verse of chapter 12. For when, in their suffering, they became incensed at those creatures that they had thought to be Elohim, being punished by means of them, they saw and recognized as the true Elohim the one whom they had before refused to know. Therefore, the utmost condemnation came upon them. So, eventually, the Egyptians realized, well, this God that Moses told us about is the real thing. And we have been in error, but it was a little late. A little late. What can I say? You know, when are we, as a people of Israel, going to realize en masse that Yahweh is Elohim and none other, not the Lord or Jesus, but Yahweh? When are our people going to wake up and come back to him? I'm asking this question. I am perplexed. Because it seems so easy to me now that his law is common sense, it's righteous, it's for our benefit, and that he rules all. What seems to be the problem with the comprehension? But then I look back on the years of my life when I did not know Yahweh. I was going to a Judeo-Christian church worshiping Jesus. What could I say? Well, I mean, what is there that I could say about that part of my life except that Yahweh had loved me and woke me up? He wanted me. None comes to the Father unless he calls them. Well, he called me. And the earlier part of my life is like everybody else's. It was a sinful mess. And only by the grace and goodness and love of the Heavenly Father have I been drawn out of that road to hell, to the lake of fire. Such love. Love, 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 hope, hope, hope. But only if you wish to obey. Because when he touches you, if you reject that Holy Spirit too many times, he's going to sear your soul and you will be assigned to destruction. Boy, I surely don't want that for you. Don't want it for me. Don't want it for anybody. Well, I'm coming down the end here. I'll talk to you on Monday, beginning in chapter 13, on the 30th of April. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and praise Yahweh in all things. See you later.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.